Hey there, welcome back to the Northwest Audio Podcast, Midweek Formation, where we give some supplemental content to take your formation beyond Sunday morning. My name is Nick, I'm the community pastor here at Northwest, and I'm here with our youth pastor, Sam. Today, we continue the conversation through the season of Lent, particularly focusing in on the practice of serving the poor. We are back talking about some more Lent stuff.
More Lent stuff.
Today's topic is, you know, I feel like this about a lot of these Lent practices, that there are things that we should probably always be doing and always be thinking about. But just like Lent kind of gives it like a new spin. But I mean, there's this quote that I love. This guy, Brian Sanders, a pastor, and he says, "If you earnestly seek the face of Jesus, you'll find yourself among the poor."
Wow.
And it's just like, whoa, that's crazy. You know what I mean? When you truly follow Jesus, you'll find him in amongst the poor. You'll find him amongst the least of these, as he would say in the Gospel of Matthew. And I don't know. I did a message. It was during the Christmas time, I think, of 2022. It was called The Humble King, thinking about, you know, Jesus's sacrifice and his humility. And I had referenced this of like, you know, Jesus isn't found in the large palace, you know, as this like big royal wealthy king. No, he's found in the dirt.
Yeah.
And so using that language, using that analogy, if Jesus is in the dirt, in order to find Jesus, we have to get our hands dirty. Like we have to go be amongst the poor. We have to go amongst and do these things. Like we have to be among the least of these. You know, again, just as Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me.
Yeah.
Like you did not clothe me. You did not feed me. You did not come alongside me, you know?
Then the gut-wrenching question, why is among the poor some of the last places that I find myself?
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
100%. Like I can't sit here on a high horse position and go like, oh, we've mastered this. Now it's your turn, listener. It's like
100%. We are all dealing with this one.
100%.
It's just not our natural go-to.
Well, it's not convenient for us. It's not fun for us.
No, and it requires us to leave our comfort zone, and we like to be comfortable.
Yes, we do.
A lot of the spiritual practices and practices of Jesus, we can do those in the comfort of our home or our current lifestyle or our current context, whatever we're doing.
Yeah, well, I was even thinking, because last week we talked about decluttering, and I texted you a picture of, it was like a 30-pound bag of clothes, and I found that the bar in my closet was no longer bending, like it was just straight up, and I had room to walk around, and I'm like, man, I was looking at some of the clothing going, I don't know if I want to get, and then I was like, you know what, forget it, we're getting rid of this, and I think this is just a topic this week that I'm going to be like, all right, well,
how am I going to do this?
What step am I going to take this week?
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, an easy step as far as, you know, people that are involved in our church here at Northwest, like getting involved in an outreach. We have lots of outreach partnerships that we have around the city, both things that are their own businesses, their own nonprofits standing on their own two feet, or, you know, ones that were started right here out of our own church body.
Your vision down the road for our community is to start doing what I think we're going to call Serve Day. So can you talk about the heart behind
Serve Day. We did do one in mid-February. It was, you know, on the lighter scale.
Yeah.
But yeah, in May we'll be having a Serve Day. And the goal is to kind of do this quarterly so that we can just kind of have an all hands on deck. Let's get involved in some sort of outreach, partnership of some kind, and do something and be present in our city. Because as people of Jesus, you know, we need to be getting our hands dirty. Like we need to be doing those things. We need to be involving ourselves with the same values that Jesus has. And so Serve Day obviously is not like, you know, hey, I served once this quarter, I'm good. We should, you know, be striving to always do these things and be constantly looking out for the vulnerable and the poor. But that's just an opportunity that we as the church give. So I do encourage you to get involved in one of those things, serve in whatever ways they need. You can always let me know if you want to do something like that. But yeah, this is like a lot of the practices, something that we should always be trying to do. But with Lent, it has like a kind of unique spin on it. And so it's like during Lent, the idea is that whatever it is that we're giving up, like we talked about, you know, fasting, abstinence, and we're going to talk more about that next week. But we would give the money that would be used or the items that we are not using to the poor. Okay, like for example, my possessions that I'm getting rid of, or like that bag of clothes that you got rid of, would be giving it to the poor. That would be like the goal of Lent, is like you get rid of stuff, you give it. Mm. Like you give it out to the poor. And so it's like you would use the money that would go towards food if you're fasting or whatever you're abstaining, you'd give that to the poor. And our act of penitence and sacrifice for Christ now leads to blessing for the poor.
Yeah.
And so it's like a twofold kind of deal. Which makes sense, because like when God told Israel in Deuteronomy, like to take care of the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow, like part of the intention there was for them to remember. The word remember is used like a bunch of times. I think it's like 15 times in Deuteronomy. And it's like, remember that you were once the foreigner, like that you were the orphan, that you were the widow, the poor, the marginalized. And so now we, as Jesus followers, like, you know, obviously we're not sitting in Israel receiving these commandments from Mount Sinai. You know, we're in our own context now, but us as Jesus followers, like we're called to do the same. Like we serve for two reasons, you know, to love our neighbor and then to remember our own deficit.
Yeah.
Like to remember Christ's sacrifice for our blessing. Like, so it's like, how perfect is that for Lent, of this idea of, you know, just as Christ's sacrifice was our blessing, now our sacrifice should be someone else's blessing.
Yeah.
And it's trying to recall that to our minds of remember your deficit and remember Christ's grace in that, and Christ's blessing in that. And now we are called to participate in that same thing. Almost like, you know, in Lent, it becomes more so about the remembering piece, not just the love your neighbor piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know. I think there's something very beautiful about that, of in this season, just being like, I'm going to give things out and I'm going to bring back to mind that I'm not so different from they. Not only a sense that like we're all human, you know, and we should all be, you know, joining together as people.
Yeah.
But also in the sense of like, I too have a deficit.
Mm. I have just a deficit, yes. And there's nothing too big a sacrifice we could make for the one who sacrificed himself for us.
Exactly. And so it's like this person has a need. This person has a need. They need clothes. They need food. They need whatever. I am able in my own current circumstances to help fill that need in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so me filling that need is in the same way of just like Christ sees a need and says, I'm going to fill that need. And so we should be constantly bringing that back to mind. Obviously, we don't want to be like a savior complex of like, I'm saving these people. I'm sure. Jesus for these people. That's obviously not the goal. The goal is to remember more so Christ's work for us, rather than be like, yeah, look at all these good things I'm doing for people. But yeah, it's just something to be thinking about in this season of Lent.
Yeah, it reminds me of that old phrase, God, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah.
Like the thought of serving the poor, like I feel like not just for me, but for so many of us, we're just like, yeah, Jesus did that. That's like a really good thing to do. Or when it's talked about from a platform, like I can sit there in our auditorium on a Sunday morning and I go, come on, that's good. But then in reality, like there's the spirit in me going, really? You're going to say, come on, that's good. Go do it, Sam. Yeah. Go do it.
Yeah.
Go be me. Yeah. You are my ambassador. Go do it.
Come on. That's good. It's exactly like what I talked about on Sunday with the idea of, you know, we say we trust God and we say that the scriptures are authoritative over us. And then yet when push comes to shove, when we get to the edge of the cliff that God's saying jump, we're like, I don't think so. Like,
might be hard.
Yeah. Like we realize that we're not as all in as we thought we were. And so it's easy to stand in the auditorium and worship and stand there and say, God is good and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. It is a completely different thing to walk outside see the poor, and say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, which is giving my life to these people. It's just different.
Yeah.
Like there's a different level of skin in the game that takes place there. Like you're really putting yourself out there. Whereas in here, there's a lot of safety and a lot of comfort and just like the words and just saying those things and not being faced with any true like challenge or sacrifice. And so that is what makes this difficult. Like we said, we are not all great at this, and we're like, yeah, let's bestow our knowledge to these people and our ability to serve the poor all of the time. Like, man, no, it is difficult.
I like the idea of serving more than I like serving sometimes. I really just have to be honest.
That's good. I think we all would agree with that one.
Well, it's just so easy to say something like, go serve the poor, and then it's another to do it. Like, I know you and I were talking about this earlier, but a handful of months ago, this was on a Sabbath day for me. I'd just gotten out of the legendary place that is Great Clips for the cheap haircut. but I just gotten out and I was just like, oh man, it's Sabbath. Like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to read a book.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make like, I always have, I treat it like a holiday. Yeah. So I've got like my steak, some green beans, like it just it's the best like steak way to end the day. Beans. I love it. It's just a classic. But I see a homeless man holding a sign in the middle of a median, and my first gut instinct to just straight up be lit, like real, my first gut instinct is like, someone else is taking care of him, he's fine. And I'm like, holy smokes, why am I thinking that? And so I just, the more I wanted to go to my car and just drive home, because I'm like, it's Sabbath, I can work and serve any other day of the week. Yeah. It was the Lord going, go and talk to that man, go and be with him, be me to him. And so I ended up like, I felt like an idiot. I was like, it's a super busy road off of 38th Street. And I'm sitting there on the side of the road screaming at this man like, hey, hey, like over the cars and horns. And he's just like, oh my gosh, what is this lunatic doing? But I was like, do you want any food? And he goes, yeah. And so we went to the McDonald's, and then we ended up sitting there for 45 minutes to an hour just hearing his story. I mean, like, brother had OD'd, dad was gone, his elderly mom drops him off at that busy median every day because now they have this house that they can barely afford. They need the electric bill taken care of. Like, this man was trying to get off of drugs. He had talked about like getting stabbed, nearly getting like killed, like shot at in the recent past. And I'm sitting there going like, holy smokes. Like, I never would have, like, in my mind, it's like, I forgot the depths of pain that people can go through in their stories. I'm forgetting their holistic beings, because it's so easy. You just see him on the side of the road and, you know, just walking away from that conversation, just getting to pray for him, and then, like, just, you know, paying for a meal and just some money to help down the road. Yeah. I'm sitting there going, like, Lord, why was my first instinct not to do that? That was such a beautiful ministry moment to be Jesus to him. But my, like, everything within me was just like, go home, relax. Yeah. Like, don't do it. Someone else has it. And we're not meant to pass the buck. But in my selfishness, I wanted to.
Yeah.
But it was such a beautiful story getting to hear that with him.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that very similar... It's funny how this, like, just, like, keeps coming up. It's very similar to what you're talking about with... the silence, the solitude, the prayer. And we think of those things and we're like, wow, that's such a good experience. Like, that was so valuable for me to, like, be with God in that way. And then yet we'll, like, turn around right after that and be like, and we'll see somebody the next day and we'll be like, yeah, no.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, like, just as you will think back on this story, this time that you said yes, you were obedient to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be like, wow, that was amazing. To be a part of something like that was so so filling for my soul. And yet there will still be plenty of times that you will see people and you'll do exactly the same thing you did, that you naturally wanted to do, which was be like, yeah, no, I'm tired, I'm just gonna go rest,
right?
You know what I mean? And so it's interesting that we almost like revert back right after it's over. We revert back to the like, nope, me, like, that's just our culture. It's all about us. It's all about, what do I want to do with my time? What do I need to do for my time? Like, I had a long day, and so I'm going to go home and I'm going to rest or whatever it is, you know, like, I'm too busy. I don't have time to help this person. you know, which I mean brings me to a whole nother thing of like the busyness and stuff like that. Like if we one of the big reasons that we should be opening up our schedules and becoming less busy is so that we have space to serve the poor.
Yeah.
Like we need to be able to like say yes to those calls like you had. It's just something to be thinking about of like, is there space in my week to be able to go out of my life and my things on my agendas and my to-do lists? Like, can I get away from those things to think for the good of others?
Yeah.
It's just something to think through, I think, for just like, especially just kind of midway through the week, be like, what do I have the rest of this week? What can I do? What can I do differently? How can I, you know, on Saturday, a lot of us don't work on Saturdays. It's like what can I do on Saturday to go serve for a little bit? Even if it's just a short period of time, a short, small act of kindness, a small act of service to somebody.
I love that you just said that, because another thing that I do, and I think that we all do, we talk ourselves out of it and we give rational reasons why. Like, oh, well, you know, I could roll down my window and give a food gift card or $5 to that person in the median. But, you know, I think the cycle of the light, it's going to turn green. And so I talk myself out of giving because like, I don't want to hold up traffic. Right. And then I would be that guy. Or, oh, well, you know, if we go back to like being so outcome oriented, oh, well, I don't know, like that one act of giving a dollar on the side of the road, or I volunteered only an hour at this soup kitchen or helped out at Goodwill or what, a Wheeler Mission or whatever it is. Yeah, it's only an hour. It's not much. It's like, yes, it is.
Yeah. And that even comes back to what I said on Sunday as well, of the whatever you have, give it to Jesus.
Amen.
Even if it's just a few minutes, even if it's just a dollar.
Let him have what you have.
It's like, man,
he will use it.
I've only got a little bit of change in my center console. Well, it's like, give that over.
Right.
Like, if that's all you have, then that's all you have. But give that. You know what I mean? You know, if you have only a couple bucks because you only use your debit card, you know, you only have a couple bucks in cash in your wallet, give that over. Like, it's just something for us to think about. Like, we can't use that as an excuse of like, oh, what I would be giving is not significant enough to actually constitute real change.
Right.
And so I'm not actually helping. I'm just... I think some people think of it as like enabling of just like, if I give him money or this person money on the side of the road, they're just going to use it for something.
They're going to buy drugs.
Yeah, they're
going to
buy drugs or alcohol. And it's just like, they're going to buy cigarettes. Like, and it's blah, 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 blah. And so we like talk ourselves out of it. But like, who are we to do that? You know what I mean? To assume that or to step into that kind of role. I think of Jesus of just like constantly giving himself over to people. Being like, yeah, you do whatever you want with this. I'm just giving myself over because that's what I want to do, because that's how I love you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just something for us to consider.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, the only other thought I have with the story of Jesus is, like, a lot of the times in the stories, there's always a crowd. Like, the crowd's always there. The feeding of the 5,000, like you spoke of. Then there's a feeding of the 4,000. Then there's Jesus needing to go out on the boat so he can project over the water, but there's more crowds. There's the 3-hour Disneyland, Disney World size line at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark waiting for Jesus to do that. There's always people who are going to be in need. Mm. And sure, Jesus may have healed someone's broken arm, or he may have fed someone on that day. And did their addiction break? Did they give their life to the Lord? Did they... what X, Y, and Z, whatever we want to see them do on the spiritual path happen, odds are in almost all of those cases, probably not. People probably went away and they're like, yeah, I'm healed, praise the Lord. But then like the Israelites in the wilderness, they forgot God's provision 5 seconds later, or like we do, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's so apparent in the crowds, but yet Jesus wasn't like, all right, I need to see specific outcomes in you. Like I need to see you specifically confess of this. I need you to, you know, give up your smartphone for a dumb phone. I need to see you like confess Jesus Lord. I need to see you join a community. I need to see you join a team.
And then I'll give myself over.
And then.
Yeah, I think that's something we think about when it comes to giving is like, will it be abused, or will it be used correctly? You know what I mean? Or will we get abused because we're constantly giving, 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 giving? Like, are we going to get taken advantage of? But then sometimes I come back to this idea that like, Jesus got taken advantage of probably
all the time, and we take advantage of him.
And we take advantage of him. And yet he's still like, yeah, I'm just going to keep giving. And so what would it look like for us to have that same posture that God has, that same posture that Christ has of just like, I'm going to give over and over again.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to give myself away. I think it was in Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster. I'm pretty sure that was where the book that I was reading, that he said, the person who is giving himself freely cannot be taken advantage of and cannot be manipulated.
Yeah.
Like they cannot be manipulated or taken advantage of because it was their choice to give themselves over freely.
Mm.
And so in that sense, there's complete and whole freedom when you give yourself over. You can't be disappointed. You can't be manipulated. You can't be taken advantage of. None of that can happen because you are willingly doing it.
Yeah.
And it was, for me, that was like a mindset shift of like, oh my goodness. Like, that's the way to not let people take advantage of me. In a weird way, it's to let them take advantage of me. You know what I mean? Like that is the way to not be all like, oh, you know, are they going to do this? It's just stop. Just give. Like, just give yourself over. I think that's difficult for us.
Yeah.
I think I would say a majority of people listening to this have a home that they're sitting in or have a car that they're listening to this in, are listening through a smartphone or a computer. And so it's things that like we are people of well means, many of us. And so that's a difficult thing for us to grasp of like giving stuff away. Does that mean I have to give up all of these other things? And so there's a long, long, long conversation and things to be talked about with the ins and outs of that. I'm not the one that's going to be like, hey man, sell every single thing that you have. You know, it is bad. It is sinful to have a house. Like I'm not going to, no. What I'm saying is that we should be wise stewards of what we have.
Yeah.
Like we should be looking at our life and saying, what do I need? And what can I use to extend the love of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Especially during Lent, as we think about, you know, giving stuff away, possessions and things like that, and simplifying, going down, fasting, abstaining. What do I need? And what can I give out to the people of God? What can I give out to the world? What can I give out just as Jesus would?
Yeah, the question, I really feel like the Lord just put this on my heart, but the question that is cycling through my mind right now is, what could I do to you or put in front of you that would stop you from being Jesus to me?
Mm.
And whatever that is, deep, you got to dig deep down because there's something there that we're idolizing. My comfort, my reputation, yeah, whatever it is. If there's something I could say or do that would stop you from loving me as Jesus would love me, and that love could still include a rebuke.
Yeah.
And be done in love.
Yeah.
But is there something that anyone could say or do to us to where we would stop being like Jesus?
Or is there something we're not willing to give up?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something to think through.
Mm-hmm.
It's something for us to dwell on. To meditate on, and then hopefully in prayer hand that over to Jesus. But yeah, I don't know. It's just really hard is what it is. It's difficult because of our current culture. We have a certain way of living, a certain lifestyle, and we're like, I don't want to give anything up. I'm not willing to do that. And it's very difficult to do those things that Jesus might be calling me to step into, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this comes from a man by the name of G.K. Chesterton, but his phrase here, and I even have to like pause my own heart here because it's so convicting. He says, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried.
That's good. Yeah. Difficult and untried. And I also noticed that he says the Christian ideal.
Mm.
Not necessarily a pursuit of Jesus. but the Christian ideal, like what an ideal life with God would look like if there were no sin, no problems, honestly, if there were no life, like
that's
no
good.
Real life happening. Yeah. So I think we see the Christian ideal, this picture perfect Christian life, you know, everything that's supposed to be, and it's appealing, but it totally freaks us out. Right. Just like you said, it's too daunting of a task, too difficult. And so we just like give up right out the gate because we like can't be the perfect Christian, just like we're supposed to be, quote unquote. But will we ever be the perfect Christ follower?
I was going to say, I don't know what that means.
Like granted, our goal should be to be as Christ-like as we possibly can. Like, that's not a bad goal in and of itself, but we cannot let that intimidate us out of a life with God. Like, I think it's just so funny and kind of ridiculous that the desire for God is the very thing that ends up intimidating us out of a life with God.
Mm.
Like, the desire for this, you know, the end goal, the desire for being one with God and just being, like, all the way there at the end is the very thing that keeps us from going after it and chasing after it. But we can't let it do that. We have to, you know, knock some sense into ourselves and say, like, no, this is a journey. This is a journey of chasing after Jesus.
Yeah.
Giving ourselves over to him is just a step-by-step experience. And so, yeah, I mean, I could talk about this forever. We could be here all day. If you want to hear more about that, you could probably listen to my sermon from Sunday. I talk a little bit about that, but yeah, that's the thought today. That's one of the practices of Lent is to give stuff over, to serve the poor, to stand with the poor. And Jesus talks about this all the time. So much he talks about this. And so I think it's important that we value what Jesus values. So let's do some final encouragements. And then we'll close it out. You want to go first?
Yeah, just final encouragement. I mean, just a couple of things to celebrate in the life of our church. For sure, the shower trailer, that is our way of serving, one of our ways as a church of serving the poor. So for our listeners who are involved with that or who are curious about what that is, reach out to one of us. We'll get you in touch with the right person. But just want to affirm like that beautiful vision and everything behind that. I know we had our Mercy Christmas where we had several hundred people in our church getting served here, people who ordinarily couldn't afford gifts for their family, and they were coming through here. So just a big thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus to our team that was involved in whatever capacity there as well. Just want to say thank you because our church is, in fact, serving those less fortunate. Right. We are being the hands and feet. And I think the encouragement today is, again, just trying to start small, just asking yourself, where in my schedule right now do I have just one thing I could do to serve the poor?
Mm.
What's just one thing? Can I not rationalize away giving a dollar on the side of the road? Do I have an hour to give this weekend?
Mm.
Just one thing. Just think about it.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's good. I would say, just as I would say with all of these things, and I'll probably even say it again next week, it's basically the same thing that you just said and kind of what we talked about before, and that's to walk before you run.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, and it will end up being discouraging, and you'll have more resentment if you try to just, like, give everything up and put all this pressure on yourself to, you know, be the perfect Christian right off the bat, like we said. And like sell all of your possessions and get rid of all of your money and go into debt. Like that is not the answer. Right. That is not the solution upon hearing this podcast. No, walk before you run. Slowly build, just give what you can.
I like
give what you are able. There's nothing too small for Jesus to work with.
Mm.
And so over time, as we grow more and more dependent on Christ and on his sufficiency and on his provision, the more that we will be like, yeah, I can give this. That we can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Like, I lack nothing. And because I lack nothing, I'm able to give stuff freely. And so I think generosity will stem from that, and generosity will build in us. And I think, you know, following Jesus is a journey. I've said this, it's a long obedience in the same direction. And so, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, on and on and on, eventually, will grow you and grow your soul, into a more generous, more Christ-like, more service-oriented person. So yeah, that would be my encouragement, is to start small, start where you are. What can you give? If you have questions or things you want us to talk about on the podcast, please let us know. You can do that by going to the media tab on our website at mercyroadnw.com. And on our website, you'll also be able to find more details and information about our community. And you can get a hold of me or Sam directly as well if you go to the staff page. So thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.